Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Chosen's Dallas Jenkins announces some bad news for season four. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. You can email us your thoughts as well. You can do that by simply shooting an email to quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. We'd love to hear from you. We're all getting through the news of the Cray together. Joining me today, Billy Hallowell, Trey Gons Phillips. A lot to get to, as always, gentlemen. On the focus story, Billy, as I mentioned there at the top, the Chosen's Dallas Jenkins announced some bad news.
Yeah, he put out a video. I've got bad news about season four's release. And so we'll talk about what that bad news is. We'll get into the ins and outs of it.
Indeed. All right. On the main thing, Trey, Liberty University, you caught up with one of the Falwells.
Yeah, Jonathan Falwell. It's interesting because he is the first Falwell to be both the chancellor of Liberty University and the president and the pastor of Thomas Road since his father, Jerry Falwell Sr., died in 2007. So, and obviously a lot's been going on with Liberty over the last few years. So to catch up with Jonathan was really interesting.
Yeah, and it's one of the biggest Christian universities out there. So always, you know, good to get an update on what is happening there. So looking forward to that. On the main thing, don't forget, if you haven't already, to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts. We got DC Debrief with John Stolness. That's a weekly, new episodes on Fridays, rounding up what's happening in Washington, D.C. And Newsmakers with Billy Hallowell. That's a full-length interview each and every weekday. Don't miss those podcasts. All right, housekeeping's out of the way. Let's head over to the news here in 90 seconds. And despite assurances by President Biden at the State of the Union address last week that the economy is strong, food prices are continuing to tell a different story. Some new studies are showing that they were well above what they were in January 2021, and inflation has driven up the cost of things like milk and eggs and more food staples like butter, boneless chicken breasts, white bread, and sugar, all show inflated prices compared to 3 years ago. For example, the chicken breast, the boneless chicken breast, has increased by 26%, while white bread per pound is up 30%, and white sugar has increased per pound by 44%. So a lot for voters to consider heading in to the polls here in November. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared Monday that victory in Gaza is at hand. His declaration comes in the face of U.S. and international opposition to Israel's last major military campaign. Netanyahu said victory is very close. He said, as I've said, three quarters of those Hamas fighting battalions are gone. And Jeremy Camp's surgery to correct a serious heart condition was a success, though he said it'll take a few months to fully heal. And she posted Psalm 73. While updating fans on social media. Those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out those stories and more over at cbnnews.com. And guys, that update on Jeremy Camp, that's good to see. Obviously, his story has been a remarkable one, and just the things and the adversity and the tragedy, really, that he's been through with losing his first wife and talking about that story and turning that into music. And now he's going through this heart condition. So obviously, he's still in need of our prayers as he recovers.
Yeah, you know, my dad has atrial fib, and it's a journey. You know, Jeremy Camp mentioned having trouble breathing. You know, it really affects you in a lot of different ways, and it can be very serious. And the surgery, too, even though it's relatively minor, it's a relatively minor procedure because it's done quite often.
Yeah.
It still is a six-hour surgery. You know, it's a big deal. So I'm glad he's doing well.
Well, it's also something that people can have AFib and not realize that they have it. I remember last year around this time, we did a story on a woman whose Apple Watch was going off in the middle of the night because she wears it to track her sleep. And it said that she was an AFib, and she thought there was just something wrong with the watch. So she reset it and obviously got the same notifications again, ended up going to the hospital. And she was, as it turns out, in AFib. So it's scary that you can have a heart issue potentially, which obviously the heart, anything going on with the heart is really important, but you can have something going on and potentially not notice it. So it's great that Jeremy was able to recognize the symptoms, get care, and is now in recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just encourage anyone to make sure you get your regular checkups, because I actually had a heart surgery as well in 2019 and didn't realize I had a condition. Mine was a valve issue. My valve wasn't closing properly, and so I was having blood leakage, and they ended up fixing that up. But I had no idea, and until I went to a regular checkup and the doctor listened in, he said, "Hey, you know, your heartbeat's kind of crazy." I was like, "No, I have no idea." So definitely, if you are having symptoms like Jeremy Camp was on stage, he said he feels heart racing and things like that. I wasn't feeling anything, but you know, get those regular checkups, you know, because you don't know what's lurking under there. And then also too, I think we can be stubborn, right? I know guys are like this. I'm like this. I'm not going to go to the doctor. It's ridiculous, but do it. Make sure you do it. It could just save your life. So appreciate that update from Jeremy Camp's wife. And so I'll continue praying for him for sure. We're going to move over to the focus story now. And as we talked about, The Chosen, this is season 4, and Dallas Jenkins took to Facebook and he posted a lengthy video, and he had that shocking title. Like you said, "I've got bad news about season 4's release." So what's the story here?
Yeah, you know, whenever you see something like that, you're like, gosh, what in the world is going on? And so really what happened in that video, he dubbed it a family chat. It was a 16-minute video of him breaking down in very candid form why season 4 of The Chosen went to theaters. And, you know, I think a lot of people had assumptions, which we'll talk about in a moment, about why that was happening, but about the monumental costs of producing this 7-season series that you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. And he also talked about some of the show's upcoming plans. And that was a little bit more positive and sort of uplifting, but a very honest conversation. He said, quote, "Our previous path wasn't proving to be sustainable." And that path he's referring to there, it's the crowdfunding model. The launch of The Chosen really started with people coming together and paying, you know, putting money in to make it happen and to make it successful. And without going into a lot of detail, he also, Dallas, talked about the fact that there are some legal matters going on. It seems at least one legal issue that is holding up the latest season's streaming release. And so I had a chance to talk with Ephraim Graham on our team here at CBN. He's the host of Studio 5. He's been covering The Chosen since the beginning, and we were able to kind of dig into what Dallas was talking about, some of the ins and the outs, filling in some of those blanks based on what Ephraim knows. And, you know, Ephraim said, look, he assumed something was going on with the streaming release, but he did not realize the seriousness of it or the legal issues and financial issues that are at play. And so getting to hear some of that was really helpful to the context.
Yeah, what did Dallas say that sort of challenged the assumptions about motives for going theatrical?
Yeah, it really had to do with the cost, right? Because I think a lot of people, including me, you're thinking, okay, well, you must be money hungry. And I don't mean that, I'm not saying they are, but it crosses your mind. Well, okay, yeah. You're going into theaters, right? Constantly. You're putting 2 episodes out at a time. You got to buy tickets repeatedly. This used to be free. And of course, they were always promising that it would be free at some point, but you weren't getting it immediately. And so I think people had these assumptions about what was driving that, when in reality, what Dallas was saying was like, look, we need to recoup funds. We have to bring money in order to make the next season. I think one thing he said that was really helpful, when you make a movie and it makes hundreds of millions of dollars, or even if, let's say, you make a low budget movie for $1 million and the film makes 10, that 9 million, you know, or whatever it is after cost, is your profit. But when it comes to a TV show, whatever you make, whatever comes in, you have to immediately pour that into the next season.
Yeah.
And there isn't this big profit that people would assume. So going theatrical was more about a survival and thriving of the show than it was, same with the products, right? They have a lot of Chosen products. They're trying to find ways to make this a sustainable project that can be free for people to watch in the long term.
And what did Ephraim say was different about The Chosen's reaction to fans?
A couple of things. He talked about the fact that Dallas has always been very forthcoming whenever possible. I mean, full disclosure, as we're having this conversation, you know, Dallas just sent me an email. He's very responsive to me, and I'm asking him questions. He's responding. That's not normal. You don't get to reach out to directors usually and get that kind of response from him. And that's what Ephraim was saying as well. You know, just always being candid, always being open, putting out a 16-minute video explaining why you're doing something on the business side is not something you get very frequently. Also, and this has to do with the big announcements they made, even though there's a streaming delay, churches and prisons are going to be able to bring the chosen in starting now. And so it's going to be free. And it's on the stipulation that churches and obviously prisons wouldn't do this, but that there'd be no admission fee for people to come and watch at those churches. They're going to make it available for free. So they're finding other ways to make sure that this reaches people to spark gospel conversation. So those are things that are quite different from the way that other Hollywood projects run.
He's really getting into the behind the scenes here. And I think, like you said, he's really trying to be transparent and everything. But why should everyone care about all the nuts and bolts of everything that's going on here?
Yeah, I think it's important because it gives a context. It's really easy to judge motive, right? Like, oh, they just want more money, so that's why they're doing that. Well, there might be a reason why they're trying to bring money in, right? It might be because this model, just like you were talking at, you know, during the news in 90 seconds, all of these prices are going up for everything. Yeah. If that's happening for all of us in our homes, that's happening to a production too that has to pay people. And let's keep in mind, and by the way, I'm not saying this is true, but I would imagine that, and this is speculative, I said the same thing to Ephraim, when you have a cast that's in a show and the show is suddenly really popular, it costs more money to have that cast over time, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of factors here. I think it helps fill in the blanks, but also, he mentioned that only 5% of fans who watch the show have donated to help with the production costs. And so 95% of the people watching are enjoying it, and only 5% of the fans are actually making it possible. That was interesting to hear. So it's helpful to know what's going on, because this is very much a business, but it's also a ministry as well.
Yeah. I'll just get on my soapbox here. I think they should charge, because I know he wants to make it free, and that's a really good goal, because you want to reach unbelievers, and you know, maybe you do make it free at some point and you find other ways to make it free. And I think Christians would support that. And I know some complain, but on the flip side, like he said, it costs a lot of money to do this sort of stuff, and they want to keep it going, and they've got to get to season 7. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but that's just my two cents there.
I think too, and this will probably annoy some people, but I think Christians are, and not just Christians, I shouldn't say that, people in general are really quick to start criticizing, like, oh, this Christian movie was made on such a low budget, it doesn't look good, it looks really cheesy, or, you know, whatever, the production value is not where I think it should be. So they'll say that out of one side of their mouth, and the other side of their mouth, they're like, oh, I'm not going to pay for something. And I right. think, well, if you want it to be higher quality, that's going to require a little bit more of you as the viewer too. So I think as The Chosen has gotten better, you can watch it from season 1 when it was pretty low budget, obviously grassroots just beginning, to now season 4, and you can just trace the amount of money that they've poured into production. It's gotten increasingly and noticeably better over time. So I think we've kind of reached a point where we're getting a really good product, so we shouldn't feel like it's not worth it, right, to pay to yeah. watch something. Angel Studios has dealt with the same issue, right? And they've gotten in some trouble for how they've been raising money and how they've dealt with that issue. But a lot of these Christian platforms are facing this problem. It's not just The Chosen and Dallas Jenkins. They're all kind of, as production value gets higher, as you bring in, as you said, Dan, bigger talent, and the production, the art becomes more involved, that requires a bigger payout. So it's, the money's got to come from somewhere. And with only 5% of viewers donating, that's obviously not going to be enough to scrape together the money needed to keep the production value at the caliber it is now at season 4.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And look, it does. I mean, it costs a lot of money to make this. I mean, we made the e-course, setfreecourse.com, and this was a course to help people combat pornography and sexual sin. And it costs a lot of money. Even just to make that cost a whole bunch of money. And so we had to then charge for it to cover the costs that it costs to make that. And what The Chosen's doing is exponentially more complicated and expensive than what we put together. All right. Appreciate you bringing that update on The Chosen. I mean, obviously a lot of people like this show and follow this show, so we'll certainly keep tabs on that as to what happens and how they decide to proceed going forward. All right, we're going to head over to the main thing now. And Pastor Jonathan Falwell joined Trey to talk about the future of Liberty University, the importance of Christian higher education, and how in an election year, Christians can educate themselves and engage in politics in a way that honors God and biblical truth. That's today's main thing.
Pastor Jonathan Falwell, thanks for taking a few minutes. You know, I want to dive right in. So you have taken over now as Chancellor of Liberty University, also still the senior pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church. What's interesting to me is this is the first time a Falwell since your father, Jerry Falwell Sr., has been in both roles. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, you know, when my dad started, planted the church, Thomas Road Baptist Church, back in 1956, you know, he was a pastor for a decade or more before God began laying on his heart the vision for a Christian education. And wow. So we started with a, you know, Christian day school. And then in 1971, he launched Liberty University. And so at the time, Lynchburg Baptist College started with just 150 students, but they met in the church.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the two have always been connected, always been linked, which I think is healthy for both, because what it does is it allows us to recognize that even though Liberty now is so much larger, you know, with 130 plus thousand students around the world, and, you know, with all of the impact taking place on a global scale, still being connected to the local church is a great, great thing, because it keeps the school grounded in its foundation. It keeps it grounded in truth, grounded in the scripture, grounded in our mission of training champions for Christ. And, you know, my dad often said that with institutions like Harvard that started out the same way that Liberty
did,
to train pastors to go out and to change the world, it quickly shifts if it's not anchored to something. And so keeping those two together, I think, is a great move. It's a wise move and a healthy thing if Liberty is going to continue in the decades and decades to come until Jesus returns, to continue to be focused on preaching the gospel, training champions for Christ, and reaching the world.
Well, you mentioned universities like Harvard or Yale that were intended to train ministers, as you said, and they've all gone away from that. So many of our institutions are seeking to separate God from education, but as believers, the two are inextricably linked and should be linked. God is the creator of everything that we're studying, so he ought to be intimately involved in it. What do you see as the legacy of Liberty University and the importance of bringing God back into the higher education world?
Well, you know, I think Liberty, along with other schools, there are a lot of other great schools, Christian schools in our nation and world today that are doing the same thing. But I think for all of us, it's important that we recognize that by keeping, you know, our faith linked, as you said, linked to what we believe, linked to what we teach, linked to all of the academic excellence that is part of what Liberty does and other schools do. It's important because, you know, my dad always said if it's Christian, it ought to be better. And so, you know, everything we want to do with excellence. We want to make sure that we're training, you know, school teachers and nurses and doctors and business people that are going out into many different fields around the world, that they recognize and understand, like, you go out with excellence, you go out with knowledge, you go out with, you know, understanding, like, the things that you need to know in order to be as successful as you possibly can at whatever career, but always anchored in truth and always leaning back towards the fact that, again, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and recognizing that everything that we do flows from the fact that we are here for one purpose, and that is bring all honor and all glory to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do all to the glory of God. And so that has to be at the core of everything that we do in Christian, you know, academics, in Christian education, in church work, in our family lives. All of it has to go back to the truth, is that it's all for Christ, and it's all to bring him honor and glory.
You know, your dad was never one to shy away from politics. He was happy to engage in politics while also making sure the gospel was central. And we're heading into an election year. It's going to be crazy, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or somewhere in between. As Christians, how can we be focused on politics, engage in politics in a healthy way, talk about issues the way you have, the way your dad has, but also not obsess over it? Because I think it's hard to toe that line sometimes.
Well, I think it is. And I think it's because of, you just said it like in two different ways. You said to focus on politics, but then you followed it by the statement of focusing on issues. I've always been a proponent of focusing on issues, not focusing on politics. You know, politics, it always puts you in a corner. It always connects you in one way or the other to a party or to an individual or to a group. But when you focus on issues, what you're really focusing on is, like, what really matters. Because at the end of the day, I'll be honest with you, I don't care if a person is leading us, if they're a Democrat or if they're Republican or if they're independent, if they're a person who understands the importance of family, the importance of religious liberty, the importance of making sure that we're always doing things according to the principles that have been given to us, going all the way back to the Mosaic Law, all the way back to, you know, to the Old Testament, of understanding what it means to live doing well and doing right to others and treating others with respect and loving God and loving people. So I don't really care what party it is. Mm. Now, granted, obviously, we do live in a society today that is very divisive, no question. You know, they're all in separate sides and they're all, you know, launching, you know, shots back and forth over the issues. And so a lot of times it does get into party politics. A lot of times it does go down that route. But man, I just keep focused on, I tell our people at Thomas Road, I tell our students at Liberty, hey, find the person that is most closely aligned with biblical truth, biblical values, what we believe, and vote for that person and get out and work for that person. Mm. But don't get caught up just by, you know, an R or a D or whatever it might be. Focus on what matters, and that's the issues, the pro-life issues, all of the things that are so very important, not only in our culture, in our country, but in our faith.
Yeah.
Find that person, get behind them, and make a difference, make an impact, and make your voice heard.
Yeah.
And so if you do it that way, you really don't find yourself in a situation where you're, you know, being beat on or being beat up, because you're really focusing on what matters, rather than, you know, simply party politics.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my last question for you is, as believers, how can we be praying for Thomas Road and for Liberty University as you're stepping into this next season?
Well, I would say this, obviously, and you know, Thomas Road Baptist Church is one church of many, many thousands of churches across the country that preaches the gospel, preaches the word of God, that believes the gospel of Jesus Christ is, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Liberty is a place, a proponent for that same truth. And so I would say that the prayers that we would covet from people would be the same prayers that I would covet for other organizations and churches like ours. And that is simply this: to remain faithful, to always understand that we're not called to be popular, we're called to be faithful, faithful to the truth of God's word, faithful to the calling of God that he's placed on our lives, making sure that that is what we are running after, making sure that is what is always central in everything that we do. And I would just say, like, pray for that faithfulness. Obviously, we live in a culture and a world today where there's constant pressure, both governmental pressure and cultural pressure, for us to change, for us to soften or to, you know, to water down our message and water down our beliefs. Just pray that we will stand strong and continue to stand on what we have always believed in. And it's not just, you know, ours. It's the faith to stand true to what God has given to us, that we will continue to preach that message, and we'll preach it until Christ returns.
Mm, absolutely. Well, Pastor Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Good to see you.
All right, Trey, appreciate that conversation there. And that's going to leave us with time on the podcast for one last thing.
We're going to look at Romans 12:12 today. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Yeah, I love that. Be constant in prayer. That's something I've been focusing on a lot lately. I think it changes. It changes everything.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because what does that mean, right? Are we supposed to kneel with our eyes closed the whole day? I think we just need to be consistently turning towards God, right? And bringing our cares and our thoughts and our worries to him all throughout the day, and make that a pattern, make that constant. So it's a good reminder as we head into the rest of our day. As always, head on over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. And as always, Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us, we shall return tomorrow with more. God bless. We'll see you then.